ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن ولا وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are talking about the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and the benefits of the dhikr for us. We mentioned that first of all, this is the purpose for which we were created, for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his ibadah, and that the dhikr is possible to do through the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which enables us to convert every action of ours into an action of ibadah. And third, that the dhikr is both a means of reward for us, the biggest reward being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions us, and it is also a protection for us. Because when we are doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are engaged in the dhikr, then this automatically saves us from sin. Another benefit of dhikr, which I want to remind myself and you today, is the fact that the dhikr is a source of great comfort for the individual. Because when the person makes dhikr, when we make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in again Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. This dua, this ayat relates to dua, but dua is also dhikr, and dua is ibadah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الدُّعَى هُوَ مُقُّ الْعِبَادَةِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. He said, dua is the brain, is the essence of ibadah. And what is Allah saying with regard to this? وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah says, when my slave asks about me, I am close to him. Now, if we think about this ayah, Allah does not say, when my slave thinks about me, I will help him, I will do this. Allah is saying, I am close to him. This ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that Allah is with us, it's not a question of the fact that Allah is not with us when we do not do zikr, for example. It's not that Allah is not aware of us unless we mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I always say that it's important for us to factor Allah into the equation when we talk about our lives and what should we do, and, you know, especially in terms of difficulties and so on. This equation of what will make us succeed and what might make us fail. I always say that factor Allah into the equation, because He is part of it anyway. The question is, are we aware of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is part of the equation? Or do we live our lives as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nothing to do with my life? At most, I perform my formal worship and that's it. After that, the rest of the life, I am on my own. Now, people might think that being on your own is some sort of freedom, and it might feel like freedom, although it isn't. But one of the things also of being on your own is the sense of loneliness, helplessness, what do I do if I'm in difficulty, and so on. Whereas if you actually remember the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us all the time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran as well in many places, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ فَثَمَ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wherever you turn, you will see the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. So wherever a person is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there with him anyway. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you are alone, there are two and the other one is Allah. If there are two, the third is Allah. If there are three, the fourth is Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَسِرُوا قَوْلَكُمْ وَبِجَهَرُوا بِهِ إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you speak in secret or you speak publicly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what you are saying, and Allah is aware even of what is in your heart. So the ma'iyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that Allah is with us, is something which is established. However, we are not always aware of that. And living a life where you are not aware of a resource deprives you from the benefit of that resource. I mean, in psychology, we call this resource myopia, which is being short-sighted about your resources. And is one of the things when we do a SWOT analysis, where we tell people to try to think of their strengths. What are your strengths? And seriously, if you try to do this SWOT for yourself, I ask myself and ask you as Muslims, if you do a SWOT for yourself, will you put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one of your strengths? I mean, it's a serious thing to think about. If you're doing a SWOT analysis, strength, weakness, opportunities, threats, will you put Allah as your strength? And if that doesn't occur to you or me to put Allah as our strength, then we should seriously ask ourselves this question and say, why is it that I do not put Allah as my strength? Because Allah is my strength. So how come I don't? The reason is not that we are denying Allah, na'udhu billah, but because we live our lives in a state of lack of awareness. Allah is there somewhere. We don't say no, but also there is no perceptible, visible benefit in our worldly lives from the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us, from the fact that we are doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the fact that we know that Allah said, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ, that you make my zikr and I will mention you. Now, this mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns, and we know that He owns everything in creation, whatever He created, He created, and that's why He owns it. If He makes my zikr, how does it affect my job? How does it affect my business? How does it affect my relationship with my family? How every aspect of my life, how does it affect? And that is why one of our ulama, Sayyidina Khan Sahib rahmatullah alayh, used to say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him and fill his qabr with noor. He used to say, and I'll translate it for you, he used to say, ke jab tak tumko is baat ka yaqeen nahi hoga ke is namaz se tumhari duniya ke masail hal hote hain, tab tak tum namaz sahi nahi padhoge. He used to say that until you are convinced that this salah actually benefits you and solves your worldly problems, until then you will never be able to pray properly. Now the whole thing is, we have converted prayer into some form of ritual with a negative connotation, meaning that if I don't do it, I will be punished. But if I do it, what is the benefit? I mean, if I ask you, I ask myself, we just prayed Salat al-Fajr, what difference did it make? So in one way it made a difference, alhamdulillah, it's fard, therefore I have to complete it, I did it, and we ask Allah to accept our salah and to forgive the mistakes and faults in it. But other than that, how did this praying of Salatul Fajr benefit me, or how will it benefit me today in the rest of the day? If I had not prayed the Salatul Fajr, not because I denied the Fajr, but maybe I just went to sleep, or I was tired, or whatever, I overslept, I didn't pray the Salatul Fajr, would it have affected the rest of my day? Or the day would be the day, whatever. I mean, this namaz I didn't pray, I got up and then I prayed qaza, and that's it. But did it affect the rest of the day? What is the meaning? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the two rakat of Salatul Fajr is better than this entire world and all that it creates, all that it contains. What is the meaning of that? It's not simply an allegorical reference to something, underlining the importance of the two rakat of Sunnah, of Salatul Fajr. He's saying the two rakat, the two sunnah of Salatul Fajr is better than this entire world and everything it contains. Now if you just think about that and say, why is it so important? So that's the reason. Thing is that to have this awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me is a source of great comfort, because I'm looking at the positive aspects of all of this. I'm not saying if I miss salah, what have I? I'm saying if I do salah, how does it benefit me? So if I did salah now, and alhamdulillah we did salah, so the two rakat of sunnah of Salatul Fajr we prayed, we got something which is better, more valuable, more powerful than this entire world and everything that it creates. I think this is something we should reflect on and say, so therefore, now what? How do I face the rest of my day today now that I've got this huge wealth? Similarly, I just prayed, I made dua and so on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the rest of the day, how do I face this day of mine? You know, what must happen to any anxieties I have, any fears I have, and so on, for the rest of the day? How does it change that equation? So factor Allah into the equation, because He is part of it anyway. And that's the point that I want to end with today, that we, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity and tawfiq to make His dhikr. But the dhikr, we need to value add to the dhikr by the awareness of it, to say that Allah is with me, therefore this is a source of great comfort to me, that the owner of the entire universe is with me. One, it therefore, obviously, I'm concerned about not offending him, so it keeps me safe from sin. But at the same time, it also must give me this huge feeling of strength, this feeling of comfort, this feeling of, you know, peace, that Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is with me. And I can ask him whatever I want. And that's what, inshallah, maybe tomorrow or the day after we'll talk about that. I can ask him whatever I want and he will give me because he's with me. When he's with me, what does it mean? It means he's with me with all his power and all his strength and all his glory and majesty. Therefore, what does it do to me for the rest of my day? Let's think about that, inshallah. We ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to reflect and to benefit from that reflection. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.